How long gone? Good morning. My final day, hours in Seoul. It is snowing and sleeting.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Honestly, it's unbelievable. The weather. So yesterday, another guy that's here, Jason and I was like, look, I want to go to all these stores if you want to rock with me. He's like, yeah, sure. So, you know, we get in an Uber and we go to the Noah store. We go to Stussy. We go to Supreme. We go to Palace. We go to like the Great Mall that Cho told me about. And it's truly just sleeting. It's the worst weather possible to do a crisp black retail report.
So just like sideways ice daggers,
exactly,
flying at you. You're running from the car to the Supreme store and back.
yes, exactly.
Your matcha's getting cold.
Well, I finally had a good coffee yesterday. There's a Korean brand called Adder Error that has the most insane retail store I've ever been in, probably. Like it's like you're almost in a theme park.
Horny.
They have this cafe at the top called Tongue.
Tongue?
Tongue. And the guy, this guy Pablo, was like
hornier,
showing us around, and he was like, we call it that because we think it's the tongue is the key to taste. It's also the key to speech. And I'm like, I get that, bro, and you're right, but... I can't argue with that.
No, obviously you use your tongue to taste.
But it had a cool logo of like a tongue, like a, you know, like a kind of a take on the Stones logo type thing. But yeah, the coffee was banging. But we went to, so before all this, we went to tour the JYP office, which JYP is like the OG K-pop factory, right? So it's like, and we go there and we just look at their office, which is not, it's just an office, but they have like some weird recording studios that are all themed. So there was like a Prince recording studio that was all purple, and there's a giant mural of Prince. There's a Stevie Wonder. I think there was maybe a Tina Turner.
Okay. This has a real Pimp My Ride feel.
Yeah, very
MTV Pimp Cribs My Ride kind of feel.
The studios were feeling Pimp My Ride, but then they had a cafe as well, Brewing Intelligentsia, which was so nice to see here so far from home, Jason. It was like a warm hug.
Okay. So the JYP have the built-in Intelligentsia the same way that Tommy Lee had the built-in Starbucks at his shagging palace in the Palisades.
Exactly.
Shagging Palisades.
Exactly. But the other thing I've learned about Seoul, and something that absolutely makes me, it takes 45 minutes to get anywhere. Like anywhere takes 45 minutes. And it's so yesterday
LA.
Yeah, honestly. It was, except,
but with sleet.
Yeah, and slow. It's really the traffic really is at a standstill all the time, no matter what time of day.
Is it because people there are obeying the laws more?
Maybe.
Like the speed, like, or do people speed there?
I feel like everything, the punishment is so great that there's no world in which it's worth the risk. You know what I mean?
When you say great, is there a different word that you could use for that? Because I was like, a great punishment.
No, I don't. I don't know what you mean.
Like you mean to say that the punishment is severe, not
severe,
great, like awesome sauce.
No, yeah.
The punishment is great. You get free boba.
It's so sick. You get bibimbap in jail. It's so cool here.
They honestly probably do have some bomb little bibimbap in jail.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's been, but bro, I feel insane. Like insane.
Yeah, because the power of K-pop has sort of taken over your body.
That's kind
of
what
happened. Unlike when a wild wolf bites you and you begin to feel the rabies take over your bloodstream.
That's exactly.
Decisions that you want to make are no longer in your control.
Incapable.
And it's in your own body. It's I can only imagine the feeling.
It's truly been psychedelic. I am very ready to go home. So just hopefully, as long as we can de-ice this Korean Air plane, you know, I'll 14 hours later, I'll be waking up in beautiful New York City.
And you're ready to go to the Charlie XCX boiler room for one night, and then you go back.
She sent me the info, and it does start at a reasonable time. It starts at 8, and it's like, be there at 8:45, or because it's going to get lit. So okay, I can get in. Jake and I are going to dinner. We'll hit this. I'll be in bed by 10, 11, latest. Mm-hmm. My ears, on the other hand, will still be awake, I imagine, just kind of with a nice, soft ringing in them. But who could be sure?
I was talking to George earlier this morning, and he was He was loving the Nancy pod, as many others did. And he said that the New York one is so crazy that they probably have to do one in LA now too.
I'm not sure.
Feed the beast.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, it's like, it's also, I mean, Boiler Room is a brand, but it's also like, it's free. You know what I mean? It's like a first come, mm-hmm. first serve, like, kind of situation. Yeah. So I feel like that really brings out the heads, you know?
Yeah, and speaking of the last episode with Nancy, our good friend Tom Krell, How to Dress Well, Turn Tom just texted us, bro, what's the name of your podcast? 71 minutes in is all caps goated. And if you haven't listened to that episode, you should. It is one of our quickly becoming an infamous fan favorite of How Long Gone episodes. And 71 minutes into the podcast, she does ask us what the name of the podcast is called. And that's just that's not even the best thing that happens.
Oh yeah, that's the tip of the iceberg, as they say.
That's merely one hazelnut on the sundae.
Arena Alexander, who is a friend of ours, she's a writer. She does a lot of big stories to the New York Times, but she published yesterday like the ultimate like Vanderpump Rules Tom Sandoval New York Times Magazine Sunday cover story. And I have to say, it's really, really good. I would, even if you don't care about him or the show, I think it really is the best kind of breakdown of the whole thing and like the how it all works.
This was for interview, you said?
No, it's New York Times Sunday Magazine.
Okay, but there was something.
No, there was pictures
too, right?
Too. Yeah, there was pictures of him eating cake.
Yes.
An interview where he says he wants it warm and moist. You know, they did blow that up as the pull quote.
How does one not? And Irina, I mean, didn't Irina do How Long Gone? She wrote the thing about sweatshirts, sweatpants?
She wrote...
Or is that a different person?
No, she wrote the story about Scott Sternberg. The big story about... the big story that was a couple years ago.
It was about sweatpants though, wasn't it?
It was like... It said sweatpants, but it was about Entire World.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay.
Because they made so much money on sweatpants.
I'm glad that she's writing. I feel like I haven't seen much from her. She's probably just been grinding and beasting. But
I think she only does extremely in-depth, like long form. Mm-hmm, I do four mm-hmm. of these a year type beat is what, if maybe six if I'm feeling good.
Sounds cool. Cool vibe.
Yeah, it's good. No, it's. I mean, it's... I really liked it.
Is it true that Tom, I don't know these people. His name's Tom Sandoval. He's from Vanderpump. He's a toxic king that people want to fuck, right? Is that his vibe?
Mostly now people want him dead. At one point they might have wanted to fuck him, but he's kind of like a, you know, he's like a guy who moved, she says this in the story, but he like moved to LA and like was a male model for like Rockin' Republic, like a certain era of like bad LA fashion, and it really worked for him.
Why do people want to kill him?
Because he cheated on his girlfriend with her friend, which was it saved the show basically, because the show was people were kind of like, all right, this is fucking boring. It's been 10 seasons of the same shit.
Mm.
And then this happened and it became, and then in the story, he also says he compares his scandal to OJ Simpson and George Floyd, which didn't go over super well. As you can imagine.
Yeah.
But the other funny part is like his crisis.
RIP Mel's mentions, right?
That's not. Yeah. his like crisis PR person is like in the room the whole time, and she's like a 23-year-old who grew up as a fan, and just lets him say whatever he like. Does the opposite of what a crisis communications person should do. Just like sits there and lets
you're
him
killing
rock.
It you're killing
yeah
it.
it's so funny. I really like
what's
that.
Up with those photos of of Saltburn that everyone is also up in arms about?
Oh, I haven't seen that.
Barry,
oh that's W,
where he's like laying in a puddle of blood and
where
stuff
he's
like
proving
that?
in the term of Jason Stewart, he's not beating the I'm a woman allegations is what I've been.
I think it's transcended sexuality and gender, and it's more so entering I guess a bit of a Mr. Beast like category where people are like, okay, is this like Illuminati shit? Like, what's going on here kind of vibe. I've seen that on my corners of the internet.
Yeah, no, definitely. No, I mean, I don't understand our fascination with him. I've never seen him act in anything, so that's obviously on me.
The only good thing about him is he is a very talented actor.
He must be, because he gets press. I mean, it's unbelievable, because there's a new Vanity Fair cover today, too, that has all the, you know, he's on that
too. And he has a big dick for how short he is.
Yes, of course. Well, that always helps with celebrity, especially in the gay circles. You know, that helps. Mm-hmm. That's why he's wearing pleather, you know, in W. It's
one day.
It's part of the deal. Yeah, it's just another day, baby. No, I did see a little bit about that, but unfortunately, you know, my time is all fucked up, so I'm seeing things. I wake up feeling extremely behind, which, as you know, is my biggest nightmare.
Yeah. You're so far ahead that you're behind.
Bro. Damn, that's twisted.
Sounds like a Sum 41 song.
I did fall asleep last night at 7:30, woke up today at 2 a.m. So I'm on my grizzly still. I'm able to get it all done. I actually feel okay right now. I'm sure on hour 8 of the flight, I'll feel like shit. But, you know.
I think that K-Wave Coca-Cola, if without that, you'd probably be dead on arrival, right?
Oh, I packed a can. I'm trying to smuggle one back to you in Mexico.
Yeah, do you only have one can?
I had two cans, or maybe I have one. Yeah, but I'm afraid, you know, packing a Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
I want to bring one to you, and we can split it, you know, during over a Mexican sunset. You know, it sounds nice, doesn't it?
It does sound nice. Me, you, Sky Ferreira, butt chugging a Korean Coke.
Me, you, and Mia Moretti going back to back with a Coke. Delicious.
Yeah. I put us down for the 11:45 Pilates, by the way.
I hope we can just go to the gym as we please. But, you know, we're going to Mexico. You'll hear more about
that. Why wouldn't we be able to go to the gym as we please?
Well, who knows? It might be, you know, the hotel's so new. It might, like, the gym might still be under construction or something. You never know.
Oh, dear God.
I know. All right. Our guest today is Blue D. Tiger. She's got a new record coming out. All Ever Wanted Is Everything, March 29th. You know, she's really something at slapping to bass. And I like that she leads. Mm-hmm. She leads with bass. When you listen to the music, you can tell that it's been constructed by a bass player.
Yeah, she's a certified slapper and is talented and, you know, respected in the game. All the studio rap bros we know are like, no, she's legit, man. And it does show. She really just slaps it up. And you probably already know who she is. She's big on social media and TikTok and all that shit for slapping. So I met her at the at the Grammy party a couple weeks ago. And she said she's a big fan, so I said, let's fucking pod. So let's give her a pod. Career World is a new cookbook written by Dookie Hong and friend of the show, Matt Rodbard, the New York Times best-selling authors of the book Koreatown.
Korea World is a vibrant exploration of the evolution of Korean cuisine, both in Korea and in Korea towns across the United States, with more than 75 bold, flavor-packed recipes and stunning photography.
The authors take an inside look at the exciting evolution of Korean food through stories of chefs, home cooks, as well as recipes that are shaping modern Korean cuisine.
The book begins in Seoul, where the barbecue scene is pushing into new territory and where the city's third wave coffee culture is exploding.
The tour continues with late-night food adventures in Los Angeles, my hometown, and stops into the kitchens of innovative chefs from New York City to Portland, who are putting modern spins on Korean classics.
Recipes include giant short ribs, whole fried smash rockfish, and pineapple kimchi fried rice.
I'm sad I didn't get to name the foods and you did. Korea World is essential reading for anyone curious about the future of food.
Available wherever books are sold.
This episode of How Long Gone is brought to you by Babbel. I fancy myself a trilinguist myself, but it usually only applies when I'm ordering food in restaurants. Mm. So, you know, I'm picking up Babbel so I can have some more conversational Spanish, Vietnamese, and other languages. I feel like everyone knows the food stuff,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, take it an extra step in case you're in a situation when you're traveling, you're in the hills of Oaxaca, you don't have service for your little Google Translate shit. Learn it the old-fashioned way with Babbel.
Do the work. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. It's designed by real people for real conversations. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. Get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/howlong. Get 55% off, that's more than half, at babbel.com/howlong, spelled B-A-B-B-E-L.com /how long. Rules and restrictions may apply.
That 50% off discount is great, as I'm unfortunately fluent in broken knees. Do you want us to call you Blue, or do you want us to call you a different name or anything like that?
No, Blue is my real name.
Oh, so you got funky parents, huh?
Oh, for sure, dude.
Okay, Blue is your real name. You have funky parents. How funky are these parents?
Like, funky enough to, like, take their kids to Burning Man when we were, like, 9.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, dude.
Okay, okay. So they abused you as a child, and thank you for coming out.
No. They're the best. They're the best. But yeah, Blue is my real name.
That's okay. And your parents, what do they do for a living? If you don't mind me asking.
I mean, after telling us that story, I'm surprised your name isn't more bizarre.
Yeah.
Blue is kind of tame for 9 years old.
It kind of is tame, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's like BLU, so it's a little bit cooler, you know?
It is cooler, yeah.
Not the full color.
Blue.
my dad's a painter, like a visual artist.
Okay, okay, okay.
And yeah, my mom's a mom.
Okay, got it.
Mother.
So you have, you have brothers and sisters. Can you kind of run through their names for us just to compare and contrast?
Yeah, it's not as cool as my older brother's named Rex.
Cool.
That's like kind of funky.
It's cool if he's hot. It's cool if he's hot, yeah.
And then my little brother's named Luke, L-U-C. So it's not as cool. He kind of got the... He got the least cool one.
Yeah, but Luke, the alternative spelling does make it feel French, which could work well for him.
And like when he was like a baby, we'd say like Lucky Luke.
Oh, that's
kind of cute.
That's his artist name when he decides to get into music.
Yeah, we tried to make him do music so we could like all play together, and he was just like not into it.
Like a Jackson 5 kind of scenario?
Yeah, like a little like the Tiger 3.
Yeah, that's kind of cute. That's very cool.
He played the trumpet for like a second, and then he was not into it.
You guys could book Burning Man and kind of help underwrite the trip. You know, that was a good...
I know, would that be sick?
That was a good plan on your parents' part. I get it.
Okay,
yeah,
so
Burning Man was funny.
What do you remember from Burning Man at the age of 9?
Basically, there was a lot of naked people. Like, everyone's naked.
Yes. So you were able to see female and male anatomy at an age where other people don't have that privilege, perhaps.
Yeah, I mean, that's
privilege
cool.
Is a good word.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. My parents also used to live in Ibiza. Like, they're cool.
Oh, damn. Okay.
So, like,
okay.
We would go to, like, nude beaches in Ibiza, too. So, I'm like, you know, it was not that... That wasn't that shocking.
You've been looking at titties for a long time.
I've been looking at titties
around.
My whole life.
Not, you know, like, that wasn't, like, crazy. I think it was more, like... I don't know. That was also the year... Do you guys remember there was a year in Burning Man where, like, they burnt the man down accidentally, like, a few days early?
Of course.
That was...
I don't remember that because I don't follow the Burning Man Reddit, but go ahead and tell me all about it.
I'm surprised you're not, like, super hip on all the Burning Man.
It was on the Drudge Report, Chris. It was on Drudge.
It made news.
But this was a year... Yeah, this was a year that... It was, like, big news. Like, the man, like, burnt down accidentally a few days prior.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of a special year we went, but this was also like before like Diplo was doing DJ sets there. Like it was like very like arty.
Yeah.
It wasn't
yeah.
as like, was like now there's like influencers that go and like the whole thing. This was like a very arty time. So it was cool.
Can I ask a quick question just as a Burning Man novice?
Yeah.
I have to be honest with you guys, and this is embarrassing. I didn't know there was an actual Burning Man.
Really?
I thought it was No, I thought it was just a symbolic.
Bless your heart, Chris.
No, it's a thing. It's like a big, I think like an artist, like it's some sculpture.
Yeah, there's like a team of people, they erect this giant, it's kind of like a wooden stick figure of a man, but it's like as big as a,
okay.
I don't know, 10-story building. It's huge.
It's huge.
Yeah, it's giant.
And then on the last night, is it the last night, the Sunday?
Yeah, it's the last night they like burn it.
They light that thing on fire and then the mescaline kicks in and then start
dancing.
Yeah,
it's like a thing, like everyone's like dancing and it's a vibe. But I just remember we would like ride our bikes. Like it's all like bikes and walking because
mm-hmm.
it's in the desert. So we would just like ride our bikes and we put like glow sticks on our bikes and like decorated them. We would just like ride around in our bikes all day.
Okay. And you were not partaking in any drug use when you were?
No.
Okay.
And neither were my parents. Like my parents aren't.
Like we're just here to see dicks. That's it. No. I don't do drugs at all.
I don't need nothing.
They were like there to see like the art. I guess. But it was funny because we like pulled in and we had an RV, right? Crazy. We had an RV and we pulled in and there's an area of Burning Man that's like the family section. And my parents like rolled in and they were like, we're not parking in that area. Like, who's crazy enough to bring their kids to Burning Man? Like, that's insane. And we're like, Mom, like, we're right here, guys.
Can you imagine they're like, wow, we are so high. We totally forgot we brought you guys. Fuck. This is embarrassing.
They're like, yeah, no, they're cool parents though, for sure. They know what's up.
It sounds like it.
We definitely left early too. We didn't stay the full time. I think we like after a few days we were like we're not.
Well, you guys
got
to get back to elementary school and stuff like that, you know. So
we had to get back to New York.
You can't miss too many days, you know. So, but did you live in Ibiza at any point, or this was before your time?
This was before my time. So my parents lived there for like 5 years, in like a finca, which is like a, you know, like small cottagey vibe in the hills.
And I want to be clear, neither of your parents are DJs.
No, they're not, but I DJ, and I kind of got into it because like my parents had the whole abusive background. But basically my older brother, he's a few years older than me, he's like 3.5 years older than me, and my mom was pregnant with him while they were living in Ibiza, and then they went to Holland to give birth to them birth to him, because they didn't want to, like, they don't trust the doctor, you know, the doctors in Ibiza wasn't like, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. They they just have,
you don't
they
have,
just
to have explain.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway,
they only have Narcan over there.
Yeah,
they don't have
much
else.
They just like weren't sure about the like hospitals over there. So, and my dad's from Holland.
They're like, we do a lot of abortions, not a lot of births though. Sorry.
Yeah, they weren't. I don't know. So probably the best call. So they went. Yeah, so they went to Holland, where my dad is from, to like give birth to my brother, and then they went back to Ibiza, and my older brother lived there until he was 3. And then they moved to New York and they had me. And then we would go back to Ibiza every summer as like our summer.
That's nice.
Like summertime.
Too cute.
Back to the motherland.
So I spent a lot. Yeah. So I spent like, I went to Ibiza every summer for a few months until I was like 13 or 14.
Okay.
So I know Ibiza well.
Okay. And does your time spent in Ibiza influence your DJ career in terms of musical genres and styles, not so much just the act of DJing?
Yeah, kind of. Like when I got into it.
Are you a Balearic bitch is what I'm saying?
Dude, kind of, yeah. Like yeah. There's this crazy I just remember we would like drive around Ibiza, like going to the beach, and we listened to this like Ain't No Sunshine remix, but it was like Cafe Del Mar, like it was the like Bambuda Groove remix that they would play at like the Bambuda Groove restaurant.
I can hear the congas right now.
Yeah, it was sick. So I was like really into that stuff. Mm-hmm. So I kind of got into DJing because I was hearing a lot of house music, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But the music I play is like, I mean, I kind of play everything, but the music that I like to DJ is like disco house stuff.
Great.
So it's like kind of a busy.
Well, disco house, you know, baseline driven. It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Baseline driven. I love when Jason. I love when Jason gets in his music bag.
Baseline driven.
When I DJed a lot, that was my favorite stuff too. Like French house with just like a groovy ass, you know, Fred Falky kind of.
Oh yeah, I like Fred Falk. Yeah.
Yeah, you know that kind of vibe. It's nice.
I love when people talk about music like this, because I do recognize all the names for being a, you know, a person who looks at the
being
internet.
Being a bottle rat,
but I could not tell you. I've seen Fred Falk's name for 100 years, never knew what kind of music he played. So I'm glad that I learned something today.
No, he's cool.
On How Long Gone.
And he would like play bass. So like my whole thing when I DJ, I like play bass while I DJ and I like shred over the tracks. And I think Fred also does that. And I remember when I started doing it, I was like, guys, like I'm the only one that does this, like in the
you
world.
You
like
invented
I
it?
Couldn't. Yeah, I was like, I invented this shit. Like anyone who does this after me, like this is from me.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
Then one person I remember like came up to me and was like, oh yeah, like Fred, you remind me of like Fred Falk. Like Fred Falk does that. And I was like, fuck.
How do you think Fred Falk feels?
Dude, I don't know if he even knows who I am. Like we gotta have a sit down. We have to have a sit down chat. Or like a bass.
No,
battle.
He's gonna. He's a bass off? Right now. He's listening to this. He just smashed a cigarette out into the floor and he said, "This is bullshit."
How did you start slapping the bass though? Because I feel like that is a maybe not the number one instrument most people reach for as a kid.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I started playing when I was like 7, because my brother was playing drums at the time.
So you wanted a little homegrown rhythm section.
Yeah, kind of, and I kind of like, I saw a lot of girls playing guitar and singing and stuff, and I was like, I want to be a little different, you know? So I chose bass, and then, yeah, I did like, I studied a lot of like rock music and was just listening to like the classics when I was 7. I was like that really annoying kid in middle school being like, the Stones. Like, I love the Stones, you know, like I was kind of annoying when everyone else was listening to like whatever was on the radio.
Sum 41.
Yeah, I was like kind of pretentious in that way. But yeah, so I was like learning all the kind of like rock stuff when I was young. And then when I was maybe like 13 or 14, I got into like slap bass and I heard Chic, like Nile Rodgers. And I got really into those bass lines and I was like, okay, like disco funk, like that's where it's at with the bass. Like that's where I feel the most connected to like the bass lines, I guess, and the melodies of the bass lines. So yeah, then I got into that and then I got into like Larry Graham, Sign the Family Stone, and yeah, learned how to slap and I was like, this is the shit, this is dope. And then I was like 14, like a 14-year-old girl just like going around slapping the bass everywhere. Yeah, and then I just like really got into that and then I just...
When you were younger, did you have to have a smaller bass for your child bass hands?
Yeah, I did. I was so... Like the bass was like taller than me. I had a Gretsch bass.
Yeah.
It was like my first bass ever. And this is actually... This is so classic New York, I feel like, because I left it in the back of a taxi cab and I never got it back. And it's still like to this day haunts me. Like I still cry over it.
Damn, bro.
I like left it. It was after a show. So I did this program called School of Rock when I was young.
Sure.
Where you would play shows. You'd play shows like every quarter, I guess. And the shows would be at like CBGB and like the most iconic venues ever. So I was just playing at CBGB when I was like seven. There was a night, like I think I was 7 or 8, like after the show, where we put it in the back of a cab. And then I was like so excited, so hyped up that like I got out. And then like a few hours later realized like I didn't take the bass out of the cab. And I just didn't get it back because, you know, you don't have the cab number. You know, now with Uber, it's much easier.
Yeah, it really is.
Isn't that tragic?
That's tragic. It's funny. I've never left anything valuable really, but I've always gotten it back. Even in cabs back in the day. Like it was tough, but I like remember getting a phone back a couple times.
Yeah.
It's not pretty because they want to keep it and sell it for money.
I'm still upset about it. I'm still upset.
You know what's going to happen? You're going to be walking down the street and look in the window wistfully of a guitar shop.
And it's going to be in there.
You're going to see it sitting in the window. And now that you're, you know, successful, you're going to go in and buy it and kind of redeem yourself. That's what I see for you.
And you're going to make a TikTok about it.
Yeah. I was literally just thinking about the like viral potential, like in my head when you were saying that story. It's like, or like, this is going to be a good music video. So thanks for the idea.
As your star continues to rise, are you thinking in the content creation brain mindset right now a little too much? Or are you feeling like it's a healthy relationship with content?
I don't know. I mean, it goes in waves. I feel like when I'm writing, I'm not really thinking like that because I'm just thinking about the music and recording.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, while I'm like rolling out my album, yeah, kind of. But I don't think that's like, I don't know if that's like amazing. I don't want to be on my phone all the time, but I'm like just...
It doesn't sound like you're proud of it.
Yeah. Because, you know, you got to do what you got to do.
It's part of the job.
Think about how bad it is for us because we do the same thing, but we're not young or a musician, so it's even more embarrassing. So don't feel too bad.
Just imagine doing that but being 40. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, just imagine that. That's the debt, the depth.
Yeah, I'm kind of like over being cringe at this point. I'm like, I'll just do it, like anything I need to do, like I'm down, like whatever.
I'm sure our friends at Capitol Records love that about you.
Yeah, because I'm like, it's not cringe to be like successful and have a hit song, so like who cares, you know?
Damn, you're really speaking my fucking language. I couldn't agree more.
Chris is like, are you looking for new management? Are you happy with your current representation?
Are you happy with your current situation? We can talk after. Yeah, I mean, I think that there is some... I mean, I think that there is some truth to that, though. You just got to own it. It's like, what's the point?
Yeah.
Why am I doing this?
As long as you're like still staying true a little bit. Like, obviously, I'm not going to like be different than myself, but as long as you're still staying true to yourself, like you can be a little bit cringe. We'll see how
that makes me... Thank you for reassuring me, because I think that we're all a little bit cringe, and you know, I try not to think of that, but you're right, it's unavoidable if you're gonna do anything public.
Yeah, it's unavoidable, especially on TikTok. It's so unavoidable.
It's not really your fault either. It's sort of like we need more uncringe-worthy outlets to promote things, you know, like tiny desk concert kind of vibe. Like that's a cool way that's not so cringy.
I disagree. I think that's cringy.
Well, it could be, I mean, compared to like pretending that somebody walks up to you on the street and asks to take a tour of your apartment.
Sure. I say
or
that.
Or ask you how much your shoes cost.
I say that as someone who watched a clip of a young Jeezy NPR Tiny Desk, Jason. Sure. So maybe my vision is currently clouded.
Yeah. I got it. Do you listen to Primus, Blue?
I don't really, but I get so many comments that are like, play Primus.
Really?
And Tool. I get a lot of comments that are like, play Primus, play Tool. Yeah.
That's a little, I mean, well, because, so you record videos on TikTok, Instagram, where you're doing sort of covers, play-alongs of popular songs, mm-hmm. and then people will request, like, hey, wouldn't it be sick if you did this kind of thing?
Yeah.
But the people that request Tool and Primus are probably going to be people that you don't want to respond to in terms of your personal safety.
Yeah, like it's...
Or like some type of watch
it's
list.
It's funny, like my fan base is like, you know, the young girls who just, you know, who love music and whatever. And then there's like 50-year-old men who just like love the bass.
Do you think it's only the bass? You think it's only the bass?
I mean, I don't know.
Just love the
bass. That's not your place to say.
Yeah, like at my shows, it's funny, like every city, it's kind of the same. Like there's like, you know, the girls on the barricade, you know, they're vibing. And then there's like some of those like dudes who are just like, yo, like your bass play, like I love your bass playing. And then it's funny because sometimes they'll bring their daughters and they'll be like, oh yeah, I showed my daughter your music and now she like loves your music. Like it's like instead mm-hmm. of like the kids turning their parents on, it's like the parents turning their kids on, which is kind of cool actually.
Yeah, it is cool.
Like a fan's a fan, you know?
A fan's a fan. Oh,
their
I
money
love that.
Still spends the same.
Yeah, fan's a fan. But it was funny because my last headline tour, every show I brought up someone from the audience to play bass. And oftentimes I would pick like young kid, like it would be like, you know, a 10-year-old boy or something.
Sure.
But sometimes at some shows, like there just weren't that many people to pick from and I would end up picking like a 30-year-old dude. And they just don't want to
leave. What about you, creepy guy in the third row? Creepy guy, come on down here.
Yeah, they would like not want to leave. It was so funny. Like all the young kids and like the girls are so respectful, you know, and then the dudes are up there like they just want to keep shredding. They just don't
They're
wanna...
like, so I'm in the band now, huh?
Yeah, they're like, that was the best night of my life. Like they just didn't want to get off the stage. I had some a few awkward ones where I was like, all right, dude, like we're gonna move on.
This episode of How Long Gone is brought to you by booking.com. Booking.yeah, from cozy bed and breakfast to trendy boutique hotels, with so many choices across the beautiful United States of America, you can book whoever you want to be. That can look like booking a 5-star hotel to indulge your luxury side, that's me, or booking a remote cabin in the woods to explore your adventurous side.
So spring has sprung, the sun is out, the sun is shining, I can't wait to get to New York. Check out booking.com for your ideal hotel or vacation home, no matter where you go in the U.S.
Booking.yeah.
Book whoever you want to be on booking.com. Booking.yeah.
This podcast is brought to you by Nutrafol. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist-recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster-growing hair with less shedding, like a dog. You know, you have a great head of hair, Jason. Can you speak on this?
Yeah, you hear this? That's my thick Nutrafol bottle shaking in there. If you open up the lid, a little ASMR, it says, keep growing.
Mm-hmm.
It says that on the inside of the lid. Motivational. The pills look like a classic turmeric supplement, so it'll be familiar going down your mouth, but it doesn't have that sting of turmeric.
Mm.
What it does have is the sting of visibly thicker, healthier hair.
Let's go. Yeah. So if you have any hair thinning, shedding, or any other hair issues, Nutrafol has a proactive approach. And it has been known to improve hair growth, decrease shedding, add visible thickness. And it's a clinically effective formula. Take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off the first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code HOWLONG. Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and stylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code HOWLONG. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code HOWLONG.
Now that you say that, I wonder, I feel like if you do it enough and you know your fans, and if you're a musician and you know the music, I feel like you kind of can use your intuition to tell if this person is going to nail it or not. Like you can kind of already feel that they're going to be you know, low key, surprisingly good at it, right?
Yeah, you can kind of feel like, I would just, you can pretty much tell. But there's one time I brought up a girl who was like 9 or something, and she had never held the bass in her life. Like, she had no idea what was going on, but she was actually the best because she was so like chill about it. And I like taught her on the spot, kind of.
Well, that's cute.
Just to like, it was really cute. And she was actually, it sounded the best. She was like awesome. She wasn't trying to, she was just doing like one note. It was
that's
so
the
cute.
Thing. It's good to get a young person in there and you can mold them versus having to unlearn some bad technique.
Yeah. It's just about inspiring the youth, you know, just inspiring.
That's what you're doing up there. Thank you for your service.
Thanks, guys. Thanks. You guys got to come to the show and I'll bring you guys up.
Jason fancies himself a bass slapper, actually. So let's put him on the spot.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't think I would fancy myself a bass slapper, but I have played the bass before, and I like doing a little slap around. You know, hit the bong, have a slap.
Hey, man, dude, we got a jam.
Yeah, we'll hit jam. The bong and have a slap. That really makes
yeah,
it.
Yeah. Do
sound.
Do you use marijuana while you slap or no?
No, I don't. No, I don't smoke weed.
You're a drug-free chica.
Yeah, I don't do drugs.
Yeah, that's you're too advanced. You know what I mean? You're too advanced.
So what's the vice then? What's the vice?
Dude, nothing.
Nothing? What do you mean nothing?
I don't know. I just like it. I just like it.
Life, you mean?
Advice. Yeah, life, I guess.
I just like it.
Okay, so your parents just did a really good job raising you is what it feels like?
They're pretty dope. Yeah, they're awesome. I just never felt the need to like do drugs, honestly.
Yeah.
And I like grew up in New York. Like,
and you never got pressured by your cooler friends?
No, because I grew up in New York City, and it's so stimulating already. Like, there's so much going on that, like, you know what I mean? And I was DJing since I was 17, so I would be DJing in the clubs, you know, using my fake ID and stuff. And I didn't want to go in there and drink and like ruin my chances of getting booked again.
Sure,
and,
sure.
Like, I would go in and
you're a bag X's. Chaser. Like, I was just, and that's so what I like about you. It. You're not going to fuck up your money for a vodka
hustler,
soda.
Yeah. Dude, exactly. I'm like a hustler. I didn't even start drinking till I was like 21, 22.
What clubs were you DJing in New York when you were 17? Because I feel like because of our age difference, I could have been in some of these clubs.
Yeah, I was, my first DJ gig was at Elvis Guest House, which is closed.
Oh,
now.
Shit. Wow. Yeah,
yeah,
I forgot
deep
about
cut.
That. Okay.
Dude, that place is so awesome. Yeah, my first DJ set was there.
I have DJ there as well. And it was a tricky night.
It was tough for TJ on the decks, bro. What happened?
Yeah, what happened?
A woman tried to give me a blowjob while I was DJing.
Whoa.
Someone you didn't know?
Someone I did not know. I was that good at DJing.
Whoa. Isn't that the whole point of DJing? That's what I was about to say. Isn't that like the whole point?
I mean, it's not something that I would want to do in front of a room full of people who are currently watching me DJ. You know,
that's smart.
She may have been a little inebriated and not realizing what was going on. So it was kind of it was more on the dark side.
That, because it was, that place was,
it was small.
It was pretty small, right?
It's small and it's also like smoky. It's like, it's very dark and like they have like fog and stuff. So I could kind of see how that would happen.
It's really fun room to DJ in then, because like once it gets cracking, it's like very gnarly.
Yeah, so fun. That was like my first DJ set ever. And it was for Tyler Mitchell's book release party. He's a big photographer.
Yeah, yeah. ATL's own.
Yeah, pretty sick. And I brought my bass and I like shredded over like Hotline Bling or something. And it was pretty dope. And then I was like, this is fire. I want to do this forever. And then, yeah, and then I would play it. I had like a residency at Happy Ending.
Okay, okay.
Mm-hmm. Lower East Side. Yeah, I was playing in the basement at Public like right when it opened. I had like a residency there.
Damn, bro.
Yeah, and then I was doing like all these like warehouse shows where I would get paid like $100 or something, and I would play at like 5 p.m.
Okay, so okay,
warm up vibe.
Right when people were like walking in, yeah, and I was like, I would warm it up, you know.
That's good. I like this. I like that you were open to do whatever. You said, I'll bring my bass and my CDJs, and I'll be ready to rock.
Dude, that was my whole thing. I would just say yes to like every. I would do like the most random shit. Like I would say yes to everything, and I was like young too, so it like
that's what you should do.
I don't know. I was just like, yeah, let me just like. Yeah, get out there.
Okay, well, while you're in this young grinding phase where you're starting from the bottom, are your parents micromanaging your moves at all, or are they letting you do your thing?
No, they're just letting me do my thing.
They trust you.
Yeah, and like my brother also, you know, does music. He plays with me now too.
Okay.
He plays drums in my band.
Oh, that's nice for you to give your big brother a job. That's really cute.
Yeah, it's cute. We get to tour together. It's awesome. And he like co-writes and co-produces on some of my tracks and stuff. But like, I always had him too, so I feel like my parents were a little bit more
right
chill because we were always together doing stuff. But yeah, they just let us do our thing. Like, their whole thing as parents is just like they taught me and my brothers, you know, have a passion and follow it when we were really young, mm-hmm. which is cool. Very lucky, you know. Not everyone's like that, obviously.
Do you have a backup passion in case slapping don't slap?
No.
Yeah, she's like, no, bro. I'm good. I'm.
You're like, it's called DJing, dumbass.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I feel like DJ. Like, if I wasn't like an artist right now, I feel like I would be like DJing, and I would be like playing bass for other people like on tour. I feel like that's what I was doing before I put out my music.
Who were you playing with?
I played with a bunch of people. I played with this group, The Knox, so like a DJ duo. And
then
I played with Caroline Polachek right before the pandemic.
Friends of the show.
Yeah. I love Caroline, she's the best.
Did you have to dress up like a witch, or could you kind of wear your own clothes?
No, I could kind of, I had like a uniform. I wore this like black jumpsuit.
Nice, okay.
But it was just me and her on, at that point she didn't have a band, so it was just me and her on stage. So I would play bass and do the tracks and like sing backgrounds and do a little guitar and stuff. Yeah, I did a lot of that stuff. And then when I was in like high school and stuff, I was playing with the NYU kids at like Bitter End and like all that stuff, you know, like pianos. I'd play pianos like every week.
Yep. One of the worst places in New York. Yeah.
Pianos like is popping out though. Like,
yeah, no,
it's like packed always. It's crazy.
Those places, if you survive as long as they have survived, you're just, it's going to come back around. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's going to be cool again, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, it's gonna be popping again. Do you like touring though, or no?
Yeah, I like it. I like it if it's like a good crew and a good situation.
Sure, yeah.
And the shows are, you know, if it's like a good circumstance.
If I'm getting paid and I have a bus, yeah, I like it. Otherwise, I'm all set.
Yeah, if I'm in a bus and it's like, I opened for Sabrina Carpenter last year, and that was sick. It was so awesome because her, like, the shows were fire every night. The fans are lining up from 9 a.m. Like, they're so stoked.
What is her? Okay, I know who she is, and I know that she's rumored to be dating Barry Keoghan right now.
Uh-huh.
But what is her? Where is she? Where is she from? Like, is she like a actress?
What's
Disney?
Her fucking deal?
Yeah, what's her fucking deal?
she was on Disney.
Okay,
she was like a Disney.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, she was in the kind of like love triangle with like Olivia Rodrigo and Joshua Bassett. Like, there was that whole drama.
Oh, okay, hot.
Yeah.
Chris is back.
That was a while. That was like, you know, the driver's license era. But she's like, she's popping right now. She's so awesome. And she's such a good singer.
She's very popping. So what kind of places were you guys playing with her? And were her fans, did they fuck with you? Or they were like, we're here for her. And this is cute, but we're here for her.
No, they fucked with me. I mean, we played at the Greek. We did.
Really?
Oh, shit.
Okay. Yeah, we did. Yeah, shit. She's the Greek. Yeah. I mean, she's opening for Taylor Swift now too. She's giant. But yeah, we played at the Greek. We did two nights at Terminal 5 in New York.
Yeah, that's okay. This is serious business.
No, this was like a serious tour, and we were in the bus, and it was so fun. And her crew was like so
nice.
Did
you guys know each other, and that's how this happened, or is this strictly business?
No, we didn't know each other. It was just, yes, biz, guys, you know.
And you guys are enemies now, I assume?
No, we're friends now. We're friends. But she...
We butted heads a little bit, but we figured it out now.
Yeah, no, we got to hang a little. It was dope. But her fans, I think they were into it because they're like... It's just like, those are the best kind of fans because they're like 15. They're just stoked to be there. They're waiting months to go to the show. They're all dressed up. Like, whoever's open, you know, if like they like Sabrina, mm-hmm. they're going to like whoever Sabrina likes. You know what I mean? So like, they're going to mm-hmm. like the opener.
Yeah, for sure.
They got their mom's credit card for the merch table.
Yeah. We like love stoked. These fans. They have signs on their phone that's like, kiss me. Like, they're just like cute, you know?
Yeah.
They're just out here. They're like, and they would come up to me after the show and they'd be like, I love how your bass matches your outfit. It's like that type of vibe, you know? Which is amazing. Like,
you're like, did you see what I was doing with the bass? They're like, yeah, cool.
Yeah. Yeah, they just like, yeah, they, and then they're like, oh, I'm gonna stream your whole discography like on the ride home. Like, they're just like cute and they're just into it. They're just like music fans.
Yeah, it's sometimes,
it's right, dope.
I'm gonna pre-order your next album and save it on Spotify.
I've pre-saved.
Yeah, they're that type of vibe, which is the best.
Yeah, of course. I mean, it just,
we love a pre-saver.
Yeah, we need the pre-savers. We need the merch buyers. We need the pre-savers.
Pre-savers.
I bet we do. Okay, well, when you were younger, did you ever get courted by the Disney people as a rising young star?
No, I didn't.
Or anything kind of similarly to that?
You know what I did do? I did do a Kidz Bop. I did a Kidz Bop commercial.
Okay, I like this.
Okay.
When I was super young, I did a Kidz Bop commercial, but it wasn't one of the ones that was like airing on TV all the time. This was like a Kidz Bop meets car commercial type thing. So I was like in the band. It was like kind of like a talent show, like school talent show. Kind of like basis for the that was
yeah
like
the, that was the plot that was the vibe
yeah that was the plot of the commercial and like and our mom like in the commercial there was like a woman who was playing our mom and she would drive us to the talent show in this car and then like I was in the band as like the bass player. I thought I was gonna like be famous after. I was so
sure you thought this was your big You're way
like, so
in.
When does my SAG card come?
Yeah. I was like, I am famous. I was like, this is it. And I got to miss a day of school because it was like shooting on a school. I was like stoked. Mm-hmm. And then I don't know.
Got a $175 check in the mail 3 months later.
Yeah, it was probably like $200. And then I remember there was a casting agent came into my middle school for Moonrise Kingdom.
Oh wow.
And I went in and I did an audition for Moonrise Kingdom.
You didn't book.
I didn't get it though. I didn't get it.
Well, you know, yeah. There's still time. You know, you're still young. Your whole life is in front of you.
You're having the last laugh. Nobody watched Asteroid City.
I know. You know
he's on his downward spiral.
Yeah.
Hate to see it. True though.
It's been a tough ride. What neighborhood did you grow up in New York?
I grew up like downtown Manhattan, like near NYU.
Oh shit. Okay. Well, there you go.
In the thick of it.
Yeah, that really is in the thick
of it. I'm a New York kid.
Are you going to stay in New York forever for the rest of your life?
Well, I'm in LA now basically for... Like I have a place in LA and then my parents.
Okay, well, so you already left. Got it.
Yeah,
okay.
Already kind of left, but I'm there all the time. Like I don't like to say I live in LA because
none of us do. None of us do, sweetheart. None of us do.
Yeah, no one does. I'm just like such a New Yorker. I just love the city. Like I can't drive. Like I can't.
So what are you doing? What are you doing in LA? Just getting these sessions in? Like what? If you can't drive.
I know it's bad. I like, yeah, I'm here basically to write. Like just when I started writing more and I signed my record deal, like there's just no one to work with in New York, and I found myself doing all these writing trips here, so I was like, I gotta just mm-hmm. It doesn't make sense to like mm-hmm. keep Airbnb, like it just
so you left
sense.
The greatest city in the world to hang out in Burbank and Studio City most of your days.
Literally. Yeah, to hang out at the Chromeo studio in Burbank.
Oh well, yeah.
Shout out to Riley.
Yeah, I've never been to that studio, but I'm gonna visit soon.
Dude, that one's awesome.
Chromeo's new album, Adult Contemporary, is available now.
Yeah, everyone go check it out. I played bass on one of the tracks.
They sent me over a hat.
Oh, you did? Oh, that's nice. Okay.
Yeah, they're like my bros. I love them.
That makes sense.
Very, very, very good guys.
Bass is a big part of their music, so I understand them focusing on that and bringing in a kind of killer.
No, totally.
What neighborhood do you live in L.A.?
I'm in Echo Park.
Okay.
I have like the most New York apartment ever.
Okay, so
it's like the most New York.
In what ways?
You
have a fire escape?
You know, just like apartment with like big windows. Like it's just like a, you know, it's like it feels like you're in a city. If you didn't look outside, like it would feel like you're in a city.
If you didn't look outside, if you don't look out the windows at the nature.
If you didn't look
out, close your eyes,
you're in New York.
And don't turn on the heater.
Yeah, can you just imagine you could be back in Brooklyn? Yeah, but if you look out, like you see a view of downtown, so it kind of looks.
Okay,
like,
that's a nice little trick. So do you like the neighborhood, or is this just where you ended up?
I like it, but
yeah,
you know, you still can't like walk anywhere.
Yeah,
so I don't
for sure.
like it's it a- for that reason.
Mm-hmm.
I like I just feel so I feel very isolated.
You have to call an Uber every time you do anything.
Yeah, let me suggest something. I think this is great content opportunity for you as well. But we gotta get you a driver's license,
dude. Failed 3 times.
Oh,
way ahead of you, dude.
You're like, my whole team has been working on this.
Dude, I've tried, and I actually did make it a big content point. Like, I have a few posts that went pretty crazy about me failing. It's very relatable. You know, a lot of people have failed.
Not me, but yeah, sure. I'm sure it's relatable for someone.
Okay, well, there's a lot of people have strategies, and you have to go to certain DMVs.
I know,
at certain
you have to
times.
Go to, like,
can't you just cheat? Yeah, can't you just cheat?
Well, I was like, can I just send someone who looks like me to do it? But I guess that's really illegal, right?
Driver's license fraud is definitely illegal. Yeah,
is that a thing? Okay,
it would have been really cool if you were casting a lookalike to go take your driver's.
I mean,
test.
Honestly,
that would be sick.
When you said it, it sounded. I've never heard of anyone considering that. Like, it sounds like something that they would do on an episode of Seinfeld. You know, like a body double to take the test for you. I've never heard of anyone doing that, and it can't be that hard, right?
It's definitely a thought I've had, but of course I'm not going to act on it. But it's something that I've thought about for sure.
Yeah,
because I've tried so. Like, I just can't. they're so mean there. Like, I just can't do it. I get so nervous.
What's your major issue? Like,
what's your hang up here? What parallel parking? Bad at? You get scared on the freeway?
So first of all, this is embarrassing. So in LA, you don't even have to go on the freeway for the test, and you don't have to parallel park either. So it's supposed to be really easy, which is what's even more embarrassing. And so I keep failing on like the automatic fails. So I keep just doing something like crazy.
Like, you do a thing that's like inexcusable. If you do this thing, it doesn't matter what happened, you're done.
Yeah. Next time, and I'm not even getting points off, really. So like, I feel like I'm a good driver just in the test.
Yeah. This is like me.
I get nervous.
Well, what's an example of a thing that's like a instant fail that you can't stop doing?
So the first time I took it, I like pulled out of the DMV, right? And you're in like a residential neighborhood. So I'm going really slow already. So I pulled out, I'm going slow, I'm going the speed limit, you know.
Are you in Glendale?
Yeah, I did the Glendale one.
That's my neighborhood. I live close to that.
Oh, nice, mm-hmm. Nice. Okay, so my driving instructor was like, Glendale's easy, let's do Glendale. So I trusted him. Apparently they're super mean there. So I pull out of the DMV and like two blocks ahead of where I'm driving, a guy is jaywalking, right?
Mm-hmm.
So first of all, it's this guy's fault. He basically cost me my license, this guy.
So you hit him with the car, and then...
No, so I didn't hit him, but...
Did he live?
No, I didn't hit him, but the person giving me the test, like, thought I was going to hit him. So she slammed... And I'm in the student driving car, right? So they have brakes on the passenger side. So I'm driving, and I'm, like, slowing down to stop, obviously, to, like, let him go. And she slams on the brakes. Like slams on it and starts yelling at me, and she's like, "You were gonna hit that pedestrian! Like you were gonna hit that pedestrian!" Like freaking out
this
at me.
Stinky bitch overreacted, just like she always does.
Exactly. I was like, excuse me, but I didn't hit him though. Like I was stopping, and she was like, "Well, you were gonna hit the pedestrian. You're gonna hit the," like she was freaking out at me. And I was
hitting a pedestrian is probably the worst thing that could happen to one of these instructors.
Yeah, but I didn't hit him, you know? So I'm like, what's the deal? Like, why is she so pressed? I don't know. So
vehicular manslaughter is a reason to be pressed, I suppose.
Yeah, so I guess. So at that point, it's like an instant fail.
Right. And like then, as soon as it happens, back it up, let's go home.
Yeah, so then, and they don't like tell you fail on that instant, but like it's very obvious. And then they like lead you back to the DMV, and I was like freaking out. And then the second time I took it, I was like way better. And I only got a few points off, but then there was a time in the middle of the test where I like turned left from the wrong lane, which is like a big mess up.
Okay, that's not great.
Yeah, so I own that one. And then the third time, that one I was like, okay, I get it. Like honestly,
I did a big mess up.
I did a boo boo.
Yeah, it was like that one. That was on me. And then the third time, I was pulling into like park, and she said I was going too fast, and like she slammed on the brakes. She was like, "You were going way too fast," and I was like, "But like I wasn't though, so I don't know."
I like your low key arguments of just like, "But I didn't hit him. But I wasn't though."
Because if you don't hit him,
a counterpoint, but nah.
Yeah.
Like, how did she know I was gonna hit him? Because I was slowing down. Like, it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, like I didn't kill anybody. Give me my motherfucking license. I didn't know it was that hard.
I didn't kill anyone.
I didn't know it was that hard.
Yeah.
Okay. What about the written form of the test? Are you failing that part too?
No, that part I'm good. Like
I'm like that part. I hired somebody to answer it for me, so I'm fine.
I found the answers online, so I'm good.
Yeah, no, I like studied. I was vibing. I studied. I finished that shit fast. I only got like two wrong.
So that's not the issue. Okay. I think one thing that maybe you can try, you know, when like on like movies or a TV show, when somebody has jury duty and they tell them to like, you know, like dress insane and be like an insane person more or less. So I think you kind of need to do a similar vibe where whatever you've been trying obviously is not working.
Yeah.
So we need to, drastic switch up. So you need to come in with some really fucked up energy.
Mm-hmm.
Just like dress awfully, have a weird, bizarre vibe and attitude. You know, maybe enter some type of weird fluid space, a non-binary entity, wear a mustache, like a disguise.
Yeah.
Just like go off the rocker and they'll be like, I think that might be able to psych you out and get this thing done.
Yeah. Well, I kind of tried that because the first time I took it, I had like a female, I had a girl like doing the test. Mm-hmm. And I was convinced that like I was a girl and that's why she failed me. I don't know. I was like convinced about it.
Instant fail.
So the second time. Yeah. So the second time and the first time also, it was the day after. I remember this so clearly. It was about a year ago. It was the day after the Spotify Grammy party.
Mm-hmm.
So like I was on the red carpet the night before. Like I was really feeling myself. I was like looking at my Getty images. I was like fire. I had makeup on from the night before, you know, like I'm feeling myself.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm gonna crush this shit. Like I'm gonna kill it. Like I'm so dope. And then instant fail, obviously. And I was like, yo, she's trying to humble me so hard. Like she saw my Getty images. She saw me on the carpet. Like she saw me on the carpet. She just doesn't want me to win. So the second time I went, I kind of like dressed like a boy. And did like hood, you know, I was like trying to be really low key and that didn't really work either. So,
okay. Yeah, we will just kind of have to pay somebody at the record label to get this thing.
Yeah, we're going to get, you need to talk
through
to your
system, cheat it somehow.
Talk to your product manager and be like, look, I know this record thing is happening, but we have other pressing issues that we need to deal with because I'm stuck in Echo Park having to Uber, you know, to the grocery store.
Uber to get my glam before the Spotify Wrapped party. This is fucked up.
Yeah. And then I met Jason at the other Grammy party.
Oh, that's right.
That was kind of fun.
So you're out on the town. You're in the streets.
I'm in the streets, just not on the roads.
I'm in the sidewalks. I'm in the foyers.
I'm in the Ubers.
That was a good party though. That was a really good, even though it was raining cats and dogs.
That was actually that was the most fun one. I had the most fun of that one the whole time.
Yeah,
weekend.
Me too.
Are you a dancer in situations like that?
Yeah, I get down a little.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, I dance a little, but I'm not like middle of the dance floor, like going crazy.
Of course, no, but I just, as someone who lives such a rhythm driven life, how could you resist?
Yeah. And I love DJing. So when Mark Ronson DJs, like I'm super into it. Like I like to see like his transitions. You know what I mean? I'm like a nerd.
That's how Jason is too. That's how Jason is.
Yeah. So I like to.
You like to see a real DJ.
Yeah. I like to really like see it. And he still uses Serato. Which is interesting. Do you use Serato?
Hell no. And it was cool that you said that's interesting, quote unquote.
Yeah. Well, I mean, all the like open format guys still kind of use Serato because it's way easier to transition.
To bop around all over the place. And if
But I think the new Serato, you can separate stems. Like you can separate a cappella like on the spot.
Yeah, you can.
And I think Mark does that, which is kind of cool.
Oh, that's pretty crazy, actually.
Yeah, it's getting crazy. It's not, but then you still have to have laptop face, which is just not worth it. DJing with a laptop is just not sexy.
It really isn't.
The amount of pictures I've seen of Jason leaning down to look at a laptop, I can't count
it's
on
awful.
Two hands.
It really looks, it really is not. Cool. It's way cooler to pull up with the USB and just like be free, you know. USB in the headphones.
Yeah, I mean it's coolest to show up with vinyl, but no one's ever going to do that, so USB is otherwise.
No, it's not. I say as the non-DJ on this podcast, the coolest era was CDs.
CDs are cool.
CDs was so like the way that it would be like just like, who were the guys?
It's all burn CDs.
Was
with
it the
like,
French
like,
guys that threw them out?
Yeah, all the Ed Banger guys would do it, and they just have the little burn CDRs, and every song had cute little hand drawn Sharpie artwork, and you would be drunk in the club, and you wouldn't be like scrolling for the name or the title or the BPM. It was just like, oh, that I remember that cool picture of like a frog that I drew on this, and that's how I know to play this Cut Copy remix or something. You know?
No, it's
cute.
It's so awesome. Cool, but. But it is crazy that DJing used to mean you had to bring a laptop. So you'd have to have, if you're smart or you have any money, you have to have two because you can't.
Yeah.
You can't
have your business machine in the club. You leave it in the, someone spills a drink on it.
Yeah. I used to DJ. When I first started, I learned on Serato and I DJ with Serato, and the Serato box like never would work. It would always give me so many issues. It was such a nightmare. So then I finally switched.
And then also forgetting your needles at the club.
Oh, yeah. The needles.
The needles just, and then, you know, like, so like once a month, I mean, you don't drink or something like that or do drugs. But if you do drink and do drugs, you're spending $500 a month on just needles at Guitar Center.
Yeah.
How do you feel about... If so, you're an actual DJ who knows about music and rhythm and timing and all that stuff, but you are also kind of an influencer at the same time. Do people assume that you're just another kind of random model influencer DJ person, and then they're like surprised and pleasantly pleased to see that you actually are a musically talented person?
Maybe they do, like behind my back.
Well, how, I guess, well, maybe more so, how do you feel about seeing, you know, maybe being up for a DJ set with a at a cool party or a cool brand, and it goes to somebody not you, and you know for a fact that that person has no DJ talent, it's just because they're hot or have a lot of followers.
Yeah, I don't like that. I don't.
That's
like
bad.
You know,
honest,
what? Let me say this off rip. That's bad.
Yeah.
I mean, it's happened to me 100 times.
It happened so much, and I like I kind of get it, but my thing is like, if you're getting booked to DJ, like you got to know how to mix. Like, I hate people. I hate when
you would think.
Like, even if the DJ has like good taste and stuff, I'm like, you gotta know how to mix. And it's not that hard to learn. Like, you just spend some hours on it, you know? You know what I'm saying? I'm like, that's what I'm like, these DJs who've been playing for years and years and like still can't mix.
I know.
I don't know. Maybe that's like super rude, but I just think, you know what I'm saying? It's like, if you're going out there, like you should just at least know like the basic
stuff. It's like,
stuff.
If you live in Los Angeles, you should at least know how to drive.
Exactly. Exactly.
No, I know. I mean, I know exactly what you mean. It's like everyone, you can go on Spotify. You can find out what the cool popular songs are. You could download them. It's all easy. The only thing you have to do, the one job you have, is just don't train wreck them. Just mix the two songs together.
Yeah.
Technology could not have made it easier in 2024 to do that. It's just like, you know what? I keep getting booked to DJ this coach party for $17,000 and I'm hot and no one's ever cared that I don't know how to mix. So why am I going to bother learning how to mix when I could do a Pilates class and get a facial instead with my time? You know?
Yeah, I don't like that.
Well, I'm glad that you're one of the real ones.
Like, put the time in, you know, I'm like, put the energy, like you got to care. You know?
Yeah. I think more people are caring I think more people are
caring.
Yeah.
I haven't been to a party in a while where I'm like, oh, the DJ,
yeah,
like,
that's
annoying.
Me too.
Like, I feel like it's getting.
Yeah. And it's also like, it's getting better because it really is easier and easier to do it.
Yeah. And it's not like I'm like the best mixer of all time. I just like, I've been doing it a while. So like, I just feel like it's not that hard to like, to put the hours in, you know?
I would say, isn't that the hardest part of DJing though? Just to be clear.
Yeah. It is kind of, I think it's like, it's a mix.
Looking cool is number one, yeah, obviously. Cool second is mixing.
Well, it's one of the, it's one of the only things that you can actually learn. Like like having good taste in music is really the best thing to be a DJ.
Yeah.
And you can't really learn that.
Sure,
but,
sure.
But anyone can go on YouTube and learn how to mix in like 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And like get it
you
down.
Get like the
okay
basic
enough.
Techniques. I think like the hardest part is like knowing how to read a room, which only really comes from practice and like doing
yeah,
it.
That's
yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good point. That's definitely the hardest part. Cause you can
doing the reps.
Yeah. You can be doing your thing and they don't care. And that's not working.
Yeah. Like you could like plan an hour set that's like fire in your house for like no one, you know, and then you get to the club and like no one fucks with it.
And then you're three songs in and you're like, abort, abort.
Like, shit. Yeah. And you're like, wait, the crowd is like not, this isn't the right crowd for this. You know, it's like, you got to know how to kind of cater.
Well, hopefully one day we can DJ together, my friend.
Dude, that would be cool.
I like this.
Or I'll DJ and you can slap.
A little back-to-back.
B2B. Why the fuck not?
Yeah. Maybe at my album release party.
That's what we need. We need them jeans on the decks at your album release party.
That would be so sick.
So when's the album coming out?
It's coming out March 29th.
Very soon.
Yeah, check it out.
Oh, I have the SoundCloud link. Don't worry. I've been jamming.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I like that you guys are old school and use SoundCloud because I was complaining about all the stupid promo jukebox services that make it so hard to listen to the music. SoundCloud.
Yeah.
SoundCloud's a throwback, SoundCloud's but in a easy. Different way. It's like the most simple, dumb program. It like really works.
It's pretty easy.
Are there any features on the album, any guests that we would know about?
Like Uffy has two songs.
Uffy,
yeah, legend. Yeah, she's so dope.
Our worlds are really aligning here, Blue. It's pretty cool to see.
Yeah, during this podcast, I've watched you and Jason develop a friendship based on shared interests that is warming my heart. I have to say,
I feel like we're really bonding. I feel like we could like hang out and really get down.
It's kind of like how you guys were talking about clubs that are just around for so long and then they just come back and they're cool again. That's kind of how I feel, except my body is Elvis Guesthouse or pianos.
Oh yeah, I could see
like
that.
You're still alive, and
damn, this guy's still
the stuff that you were doing in 2007 is actually very cool now. So,
oh my god,
welcome to your new life.
No, it's coming back around. I feel like the album release party has to be like you and Uffy on the decks.
Oh,
done.
Let's go.
I'll call
Cobra Snake. We'll get this thing done.
Yeah,
we'll get this thing buttoned up today.
Cobra Snake's gonna be there for sure. Cobra Snake.
Mark will be there for sure.
Yeah, we need to get Mark on the. I'm not tight with Mark. And I want
don't worry,
so
Jason
bad.
Can take care of it. Jason can take care of it.
If Mark DJs my album release, I would like die. I'd be so sick.
I don't know if he's ever DJed, but I could get him to DJ. I can get him to do pretty much anything.
That'd be fire. Oh, and like, do you guys know Mayor Hawthorne? He
of course.
Yeah, he was on a song on the album.
Beautiful, nice. Great guy.
Homies,
he's probably listening to this pod right now.
Dude, I gotta send to him. I just went up and like special guest at his show in LA. It was dope. His album's awesome. I also played bass on a song on his album.
A little trade.
And then he like worked on one on mine. Yeah, a little trade.
I love our little How Long Gone family is all intermingling together.
Yeah, it's
Chris
nice.
And I feel like proud parents on the rocking chair with a little blanket over our knees.
Yeah, it's kind of cute. I kind of love it.
Thank you, Blue, for joining us. It was a pleasure.
Thank you guys so much for having me on. I've been a fan of the pod for a while, so this is really cool.
Oh, no, I love that. Thank you. No, it was a pleasure.
You guys
and,
are dope.
And we'll look out for the album on the 29th.
Yeah, check it out. I'll see you guys at the release party.
We'll be there.
All right, thanks, guys. Peace.